Here we are with Congressman Peter Welch, Democrat of Vermont. He's Democrat at large, which means he's the only one. You got two senators there, but one congressman. He's been in office since 2007. Peter, I guess the question at this stage of the game is, where is Speaker Pelosi? And obviously, she's sending the impeachment articles up to the Senate. So what do you think is happening here? What's the role of Mitch McConnell?
Well, the role of Mitch McConnell is to guarantee that we have a fair trial, and the American people believe that the trial was on the level, or it's to protect Donald Trump and guarantee no fair trial and leave people dispirited that the institution didn't do its job. I mean, that's really the bottom line. And what we saw so far is that Mitch McConnell says, number one, he's interested in just getting this over with as quickly as possible without taking any evidence whatsoever. And he also said very explicitly that he's going to work, is working hand in glove with the White House counsel. So you have this very bizarre situation where under the Constitution, it's the exclusive authority of the House to vote on articles of impeachment. The House did that. Then it's the exclusive authority of the Senate to have a trial. And that's supposed to be an independent trial based on the evidence. And what Mitch McConnell has done is redefined that, not as an independent trial, but as a assertion of partisan might. He's got the majority, and he's got the authority as the majority leader to basically set up the rules as he wants them. Now, the fact that he won't bring in somebody like John Bolton, who says he'd be willing to respond to a subpoena, is pretty astonishing, because we all know that Bolton was present at the whole array of things that happened around Ukraine and the president's leveraging American aid to benefit his campaign. So what's the truth of that? Well, Bolton has a lot to say on that, and we've got Senator McConnell saying no witness. He should be bringing in Mulvaney. He should be bringing in other folks from the Office of Management and Budget. So that's what he should be doing, and it's pretty obvious that whoever was majority leader, where there were articles of impeachment before the Senate, that's what they should do based on the evidence. And we'll see what McConnell does, but if he does what he says, he's just going to basically make this a partisan raw power vote.
But assuming that he doesn't, assuming he cooperates with the White House, could this cost the Republicans control of the Senate?
They're going to have some decisions to make, those Republican senators. Here's the question. It's one thing to vote on the impeachment if you honestly believe that the president did not commit an impeachable offense. And obviously the Republicans start out with that point of view. It's another thing to vote against a motion to hear the evidence. So, I think people see that as a different responsibility. If any Republican or Democrat has the opportunity to vote on the question of, do we bring in Bolton? Do we bring in Mulvaney? Do we get those documents? How in the world do you vote no on that, Republican or Democrat, if your job is to try to have a fair trial? And I think that would be an issue for folks on the Republican side who vote against having evidence.
So you get some marginals like Susan Collins of Maine, who has often talked a good game about standing up to the president, but in the end, in my mind, not yours, chickens out. Now, let's assume that that's what happens this time. That's enough to drive her from office, I suspect.
Well, she's got to make that calculation, but I got to say, you're in the Senate. You've got to do your job, and your job on an impeachment is to have a fair trial, and that's true whether you're a Democrat or Republican. You can't have a fair trial by suppressing evidence, period, plain and simple. So whether you're in a good or bad position electorally, you've got a pretty clear duty. So my hope is that Susan Collins and other Republicans on the question of do we hear from witnesses, do we get documents, would say, of course. We want a fair trial. We want to look at the evidence, and we'll see where it takes us.
You played an important role in the impeachment process as a member of the Intelligence Committee. As we begin another election year, what is the state of our election security now as it relates to foreign actors? In other words,
it's precarious. Yeah. It's precarious. You know, the House has passed, I think, three bills that are sitting over in the Senate. And, you know, McConnell is not taking up bills that have been passed by the United States House of Representatives. We've got about 400 bills over there. And contrary to a lot of the press reports of nothing going on, we've been doing a lot. And over half of those bills have solid bipartisan support. And basically, McConnell's sitting on everything. But among those legislations is to tighten up our election security and to help our states make certain that their systems don't get hacked into. And we know the Russians are going to be at it again. Mm-hmm. And the most important thing we can do in a democracy is make certain that people have legitimate confidence that their vote counts and that people aren't messing with our electoral system. And we know we need to tighten things up and help the states. And the House passed legislation with money to do that. And McConnell says no. It's outrageous, in my view.
Let me ask you about the Russians. You're closer to all of this than I am. Our intelligence officials, you know, under Trump's auspices, despite his denial, have said, yeah, it's the Russians, it's the Russians. Can you explain to me and to everybody else, or take a hand at it, why the Russians are supporting Trump?
Well, at this point, they thought in the election that Trump would be much more favorably disposed to them than Clinton. I mean, we know that. Putin said that. And obviously Trump has acted consistent with that. You know, that private meeting that Putin and Trump had where everybody was kicked out except the interpreters, none of us have any idea what they said. And that incident where Trump was essentially just so pandering to Putin. It's like Trump likes Putin and doesn't see him as the adversary that he is to our country. But there's another issue for Russia, whether Trump or Hillary or whoever is president, and that is they want to sow discord within our democracy. They've got a grudge, and they want to extend their authority and influence, and they want to diminish our authority and influence. And where they're focusing a lot of attention is to spread false information like they did in the last campaign, to try to get rumors going on the Internet, to basically be disruptive where they start destabilizing and diminishing confidence within our own country about our own democracy. That's what they're up to. They believe in an authoritarian approach to the world. We believe in a democratic approach. The more they can disrupt our election system, not only by hacking into potentially the voting computers, but by spreading false information, bad rumors, things that really rile people up, they see that as weakening us and strengthening them. And, you know, Republican or Democrat, we should all be doing everything we can to maintain people's confidence in our election system.
I got 2 minutes. I want to ask you about Bernie Sanders, a fellow Vermonter, your senator. You've been for him during this time. I thought he didn't have much of a chance. Now he's leading in a lot of the polls. What do you make of that?
He's run a very good campaign. You know, he's got a clear and consistent message about how we've got to focus on the needs of everyday working class people and middle class people. And he's got an incredible base, as you know, raising the most money of anybody with the most contributions in the smallest amounts. So I think it's a combination of his message that he's been on all his political life about getting government to work for everyday people and to stand up to the powerful that make government work for them.
So yeah, we got a minute, but he and I are both old. That's number one. He's had a heart attack. But people love him. The Democrats seem to love him. Can you explain it?
I think it's true. He's done really well. You know, I was at a rally with him in New Hampshire, and it was a good turnout. There was a lot of enthusiasm. And actually, what I noted is that Bernie's presentation, all the same language, all the same issues, but he was much sort of softer and gentler in his tone, which I think is a good thing. So he's trying to reach out. But people like the message. They, number one, believe that he's authentic, that he's honest, and that what he says he means.
Okay,
and
very quickly. Okay, very quickly. I know Ian's going to get on me for this, but very quickly, I can't but help ask you. There's an accusation that his people have been trashing Elizabeth Warren. He says it's not true. What do you think?
Well, he says it's not true, so I'm going to believe him. It would be a real mistake. I mean, Elizabeth Warren is fantastic. She's a wonderful senator and is running a wonderful campaign and has been a senatorial colleague and close friend of Bernie. So Bernie's saying he didn't do it, and I believe that.
Our friend Peter Welch, a Democrat of Vermont, the only congressman from Vermont in office since 2007. Peter, it's always wonderful to talk to you. Thanks for being there. I'll be back with some
Thank
more
you.
Questions for the next time.